Welcome to Friday morning in the great city of Atlanta. My name is Steak. He's Mike Johnson.
Heyo.
Lucky enough to get to spend the next 2 hours with him. He's putting in, I guess because he was off for Juneteenth, they're making him work 5 hours today.
Yeah, just double down on me. You know what I mean? Double down. I love it, though, man. It's the fastest 2 hours on radio.
You wouldn't miss it, especially today where all kinds of fun things planned. We're going to try to play buy or sell a little bit later on, trying to figure out who's going to work alongside Mikey on that one. And just a busy weekend ahead and all kinds of great stories, and always great to work with Mike. And, you know, the crew's off doing their thing. Sandy's in Panama City. Rusty's taking over the world. He's at, you know, one of his camps or cities or something.
And yeah, he's kind of gotten big time since the whole On Three Rivals thing has started going on. You know what I mean?
It's been a few years this. He's a TV and radio juggernaut. He's on Fox 5. He's on the IJs, the high school games. He's got the biggest site for Georgia. And then Drew Butler's got to be at some country club.
There's no doubt.
I mean, that guy, you know what I mean? You talk about
either that
life.
Or he's got his, you know, his three girls on some kind of family trip somewhere.
Scratch golfer, country club boy, just gracing people with a round of 18. You know what I mean? Like, just.
When we get calls, I always tell people I'm living the dream. Drew Butler is living the dream. Like, Drew Butler's living the absolute dream.
Three beautiful girls, famous dad. 5 years in the NFL. How many years are you in the NFL?
Five.
So the two of you have the same pension, whatever that is.
So, no, man, he is. He's living. And Drew's wife went to Alabama. I didn't know her at the time, but I know that I know people that do know her and know her from Alabama. So yeah, he's living the dream, man. He fell into that Alabama pipeline. There was a time in my life where I dated like five straight girls that went to UGA. Before I went back to date my wife who went to Alabama. So, crossover.
Let's back that up a second. So. Five girls, you're at Alabama, and you're a captain of the Alabama football team, but you're dating girls from Georgia.
After I left Alabama, and I get drafted here.
Yeah.
Right?
And you're living where?
Living up in Buford, up near training camp.
With another player?
No. At the time, actually, when I moved here, I had a live-in girlfriend, and then we broke up shortly thereafter, sometime during my rookie year. And then, started.
Was she a girlfriend from college?
Yes. Yeah, she was.
Do you know
from
in the back of your mind, once I get drafted, this thing is probably this isn't going to be long.
I thought things would be a little bit different. She loved the NFL wag lifestyle just a little too much. You know, just settling in on the thing. I was like, okay, all right.
So what does that mean? So you're from a college kid to your fourth round pick or
third round pick.
Sorry. Yeah. And then you're living. She's the girlfriend of an NFL player. So what does it mean? She wanted all the accoutrements that come with, quote, an NFL salary?
Yeah. She hated that we lived in Buford, first of all.
She wanted to be in Buckhead. Brookhaven.
Wanted to be closer to town, closer to things. I'm focused on football and work and commute, and I'm focused on all the things I got to do.
How about let me make the team, let me be a factor, let me justify my third round status, all that stuff. There are always great stories of, you know, coaches, managers, wives, and players' wives that hang in there, like 6 years of minor leagues, 8 years of minor leagues. We moved everywhere. We were in North Dakota. We were in Albuquerque. We were in, where is it in Alabama that you drive through? Dothan, Alabama? Sorry. You know, we were all over. And then you see and you're like, that girl put in her time, man.
She did. She invested in him. Right? That's the way I always put it. She invested in him.
She believed in him. And by the way, the road is not a clear path that you're ever going to make. Ask Grant Holmes. Sometimes it takes a long time, right?
Yeah.
All right, so she's whining about it to you?
Yeah. She'd invite her friends in town. They'd be like,
where's Buford?
We're not close to Atlanta. They'd be like, yeah. She'd be like, yeah, I don't like it out here.
Oh, so you'd hear her muttering, kind of, right?
Yeah, beautiful home. Like, she wasn't working.
Do you remember the day? You broke it off, I assume.
Yeah. I remember the day, yeah.
Have you ever broken it off when someone's living with you? Is that the only time that happened?
That's the only time it's ever happened to me. Yeah. She was.
Is it amazing when guys or girls go out? She's like, yeah, I've had three or four live-ins that we had to break. I was like, that's almost as bad as like a divorce. Like you're living in a house together. Like somebody has to leave.
Yeah,
was there a day of debarkation of like it's over?
So I don't remember what I was doing at the time, but I had to do something for football for an extended stretch, maybe a mini camp or something. I don't know. But anyway, she went home for that week stretch or whatever.
Yeah.
And essentially, by the time she came back, I was like, this is not going to work. Like you just like showing back up looking for the free ride. You know what I mean? And it was not very supportive.
Do you know where she is today?
I know she's married. I don't know.
She married.
I'm not sure where she is.
She married a ball player?
No.
She did not.
I don't think he's poor, though. I don't think he's poor.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
She knew how to hunt.
Yeah.
She was on the hunt.
Right.
She was a hunter, right? She hunted.
She knew exactly what she wanted in life.
I mean, yeah. There are a lot of women that they're on the circuit, like the pro sports circuit. Like, they know they ain't going to apologize for what that is.
Her whole crew, man. Their whole crew from college, it's like one of them married a singer, the other one married a doctor, you know, the MRS degree. The MRS degree, man.
What's the MRS degree?
Yeah, the Mrs. They want to just get the Mrs.
Oh,
you know
I'm
what I mean?
Sorry.
The
right.
MRS degree.
Yeah. What do you do for a living? I go to the gym and look really good and make sure that he comes home with a lot of cash.
Orthopedic surgeon.
Yeah. So all the girls from Georgia were girls you met in Atlanta?
Yeah. I met.
Were you running in Buckhead back in the day?
Oh,
then?
Yeah, dude. Come on.
So you go from Buford to there. This is before Uber and everything.
Yeah,
else.
Well, eventually, after probably year two, rented my house out to another player. Actually, a series of players. Brady Ewing was one of them.
Fullback?
Yeah, fullback from Wisconsin.
Wisconsin, okay.
There was a number of them in a row that I rented my house out to, and I ended up moving down to Buckhead. I lived at town Brookhaven for a little bit, and then Joe Holly and I got a place, or he bought a house right off of Lenox Road.
Town Brookhaven had so much potential.
Dude.
You know?
I haven't been there in a while.
I live 3 minutes from there, 5 minutes from there.
Yeah.
There's been more restaurants roll through there, open and close. I mean, that could have been a hotbed of young people to just like.
I used to destroy. Smash Kitchen was over there.
Yeah.
And then Old Blind Dog across the road. I lived above.
Oh, Old Blind Dog. Yeah, my buddy lived right upstairs.
Yeah, I lived above a bar. So I'm trying to think. I think it was called There. Yeah. Their gastro pub might still be there. I don't know. There
just
know.
Closed.
Yeah, did it. Okay.
Great burgers.
Yeah, for and it was literally it was an elevator ride away from my apartment.
Yeah, so. It's a great spot. All right, I got a story for you, but I'm gonna have to save it because we got to get to 9 at 9, and we got a lot to get to this morning. So let's do it. You know, it's not a complicated algorithm. Atlanta Braves need to get hot. I've been My take has been we need 11 out of 13. I said, you know, 8 in a row, you may run into a hot pitcher. You know, it's not about just winning series, but it's not about a 13-game winning streak. They just have to get hot. And if you listen to my program, it's not that complicated. I was like, there's no reason for optimism other than nobody's got better than Strider, Schwellenbach, and Chris Sale. And when you have those three, you know, are you saying we have a chance? Absolutely.
Yes.
And then Ronald Acuna just inserting his will as the best player in baseball are certainly right up there, right?
Yeah, he's definitely, you know, amongst the top five right now with what he's been doing. And we waited a little bit for him to get back. There's a little bit of a lull, but, dude, he's hotter than the surface of the sun right now.
It's ridiculous. And my point was, I don't know that we'll sweep Colorado. I haven't shown that. I don't know that, you know, we can sweep the Mets. But until we get hot, but I think it's a great time to go on the road to the Marlins. Obviously, the signs with Strider last night. The fact that Chris Sale is looking at another Cy Young-type season, and we know what Schwelly's capable of. Grant Holmes had 15 strikeouts his last time out, right? And then a huge moment tonight, right?
Yes.
In terms of who's starting.
Yeah, Didier Fuentes is going to be starting tonight. We talked to Grant McCauley just a minute ago about him. Obviously, a lot of upside. Kind of reorganizes what you're doing with the starting rotation because you do. You mentioned the Marlins, but then you got the Mets back right after that starting on Monday and the Phillies. So you're trying to line things up to where you can go on that 11.
So you win 2 out of 3, then you are 9 out of 12. You'd be 9 and 3 in your last 12 games.
Yeah.
If you win 2 out of 3, you win all three. You'll be 10 out of 12. That's the 10-2 stretch I'm talking about. Let's just assume we take 2 out of 3,
yeah.
Right? I would say you're going to see some massive television audiences for a 4-game series in New York where Braves fans suddenly have hope again.
Well, and I think the point takeaway from that is think of what those fans like in New York. Think of the pressure being put on those New York players because Braves players have felt that recently as well, back against the wall. You're not a very good team. The Mets are 10-28 in their last 38 against the Atlanta Braves. They just can't seem
torture.
To solve the Atlanta
we torture
Braves.
Them.
And last so night you just know that Monday in New York, it's going to be on fire.
Yeah, last night we'll get Strider's numbers in a second, but let's go to the NBA Finals. An absolute dud by the Oklahoma City Thunder, ready to close out and win a championship, their first in history. And the Indiana Pacers saying, no, sir. 108-91. It's funny, I was watching McAfee yesterday. I keep it on in my office in the background, and they're all in Indiana, obviously. They're at the field house there. And I love what somebody in the show said. The fans and people who pick Indiana are way more nervous than the Pacers. They've been doing this all year. Yeah. They're the hottest team in basketball. They are great after losses. That home crowd absolutely took them out of the game, Oklahoma City.
Yeah.
And we got a game 7 on Sunday night.
Yeah, it's going to be insane. And obviously, I don't think last night was not just a win. I think this was a statement win. When you look at how, like, I'm flipping over from the Braves game. I'm like, okay, I just got to make sure the Braves win. I flip over, and it's like 22, then 24, then 26, then 30. And you're like, dude, this is getting out of hand. As a matter of fact, OKC climbed back within like 26, and they called a timeout. They're like, no. We're not going to let this thing get closer.
Rick Carlisle wants the feeling of a beatdown in their head for Sunday night.
Yep. Couldn't agree more.
Now, they're going to be enormous underdogs. The last 19 game sevens in the finals, the last 19 game sevens, the home team is 15-4.
Come on.
15-4. So
anything is possible, but yeah, this one feels like it's
last win was, I believe, the Cavs in Game 7 on the road.
Is that true?
I think so.
Oh my god!
I got to look at the
that's insane
numbers on them. But so the last road team won Game 7.
Yeah,
I'll give you numbers on that coming up.
It's gonna be a fun. It's gonna be a fun one either way, man.
College World Series continues. What can you tell us, Bo? As LSU and Coastal Carolina, and I think it's a great final.
Coastal. The winners of 26 straight baseball games. They have not lost a game in the entire tournament. Didn't lose in the Supers.
That's
a month's worth of non-losing baseball is a lot, but I hate to tell you, Coastal fans.
That's called a heater.
You're about to run into a fully healthy and ready LSU pitching staff. That's the biggest reason why we could not let this Arkansas series go to an if game.
Yeah, sets yourself up in a great way. We'll talk more about a moment in sports that defines the pains, the ups and downs, the Arkansas-LSU game the other night. And we have a race in Atlanta a little more than a week away.
Yeah, that'll be the Quaker State 400 next Saturday night under the lights. Quaker State 400 available at Walmart, like they like to say, at Echo Park Speedway. I'm stoked about that. We'll be on location.
You got to give me 6 minutes through the break. I was out last night at a business dinner.
Attaboy.
I went up to a table, two couples. And I think I'm a pretty funny guy. I think I'm engaging. I mean, you know, people usually are happy to see me. I had a moment with a woman at the table who didn't know who I was.
Okay.
And I'm 58 years old. And I never, ever have had a moment of uncomfortableness like when my joke went out there. And then, boy, oh, boy, I literally had to just make a phone call to say,
flatline.
Yeah. Give me a few minutes. I'll tell you what happened. I'd like to say, I'll let the listeners decide. It was a bad steaky moment, or was it a bad moment for that young lady? Oh, yeah, we got some sports stuff as well. We'll hear from the Bravos, Spencer Strider and company. We come back. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Hey, it's 9:24 on a Friday morning, and Mike Johnson is front and center. Filling in for Rusty. Get to the Braves in a second. So I'm at a restaurant in Buckhead last night. And I'm not going to name names. So I hopefully nobody gets offended here. But it's an old buddy of mine. Great guy. His first name begins with A. And he's got a beautiful wife. I don't know the other couple. But it's a fancy Buckhead restaurant. There's probably about 20 tables. And they're dressed very elegantly. They're in their mid-50s, late-50s, early-60s. Yeah. Okay?
Okay.
So I'm, you know.
Elegantly. Are the guys wearing ties?
He's got a blazer on.
Okay.
It's like a Miller Brothers, you know, haberdashery.
So it was custom. Whatever he was wearing was custom.
Oh, yeah. Oh, this guy's done very well. All right. And they're all, you know, the women are in nice dresses, and the guys are in blazers. And so I roll over there to the table, and it's like, hey, Steve. I'm dressed, you know, on a business dinner.
You fit in.
Sandra likes to paint me as, you know, not being, being a little bougie, and we know that's not
the case. Yeah, that's
you
all
know, right. We know I'm an everyman, if ever there was one. So I walk over to the table, and I go, God, you guys look amazing. You were just voted the second best looking table in this entire place. And, you know, like the guys laugh, because nobody ever says that. Like, you're the best looking. No, you're the second best looking, right?
Yeah,
and
then
it's always like, well, who's the first best? And I go, listen, I can't say, but you did great. You're second best.
I see what you're doing.
Right? Okay. So I'm just playing with them, like, because they're not used to somebody walking over and go, you're the second best looking table.
You're playing the role of Steak Shapiro. Is what you're doing.
Guy laughs. His wife, I know her. Give her a hug and a kiss. Talk to the dude. This woman is giving me a look like, I swear, I was like, do I know her from like the mid-90s? Or like, what is going on here? Like, when I tell you a look of and then she's like hey, it's great to meet you.
One of those looks where you immediately wonder what the backstory is. Like, you're like, dude, there's no way that just happened right now.
Like, something must have happened. Maybe she has a girlfriend I don't know about or something that, like, I don't know what I did to wrong this woman, right? And then I'm just like, this is awful. This is uncomfortable. She won't even extend her hand, whatever. And then she's just like, after what she just said, why should I say a thing to you at all? It's ridiculous.
That's what she said? She actually said that?
Yes.
Wow.
Now, I checked in with my buddy who said that she may have had a couple too many cocktails. But like, that line of you're the second best looking table,
yeah, come
which
on,
is not, right. I mean, I'm not, this is not Steak putting his foot in his mouth, right?
Right.
This is somebody that clearly had felt like that she looked so great that there, it's a whole restaurant of tables.
Yeah.
Like, that could have been a 27-year-old, like, you know, Alabama ex-cheerleader model, like, fitness instructor that could be, like, two tables down. You don't
right,
know.
Right.
I said you're the second best table.
It's not even valid to the comment. You know what I mean?
Right, like, it's a total throwaway joke.
Cheek, dude. Calm
down. You guys look awesome. You're the second best looking table in this whole place. What? Yeah. Who's the first? Yeah. I can't tell you.
Yeah, that's a secret.
So I just turned to my buddies and go,
you're
dude.
In the VIP.
I go, dude, that was, that was next level.
Dude.
Next level, right?
Like, where did you meet this broad?
So,
man?
I never met her ever. And I just was like, so I just called my buddy. He's like, dude, don't even get me started. Like, you're not the only one in that place that there was a, right?
There was
But I mean, the first utter panic of, I'm having a legitimate, horrendous, uncomfortable moment. I was just relieved she was mad at the joke and it wasn't something else.
Right.
Right?
You're like, yeah, don't have to dig any deeper
into
the background.
Why would I shake your hand after what you just said
to
me?
Just hope it's a surface level.
I'm sorry, do you always look at yourself as you're the number one? Right? Are you only, like you can't be categorized as anything but.
Let's be a little more realistic next time, lady. Like, let's calm down just
a
little bit here.
Buckhead's got a lot of beautiful tables, darling. I got to tell you, you look lovely. Yeah. Anyway, that was
a
moment.
Man.
We did just talk about something that's amazing. And, you know, listen, I'm constantly, AI and ChatGPT, I don't know how much you study it, but if you are in the business world and you are not doing a race to know more and be better, it blows me away. The ChatGPT stuff, the way it prepares you, the condensed, just the way you can get a book now and you can show a page of a book and next thing you know, they'll start reading it for you, to you, or the way they can condense. But anything else. My point is about technology, how amazing it is. I was just blown away. My daughter's in Ibiza. She's on a weekend trip to Ibiza. And she calls me. I'm still amazed. Like, I grew up in a day when you made long-distance calls in the 70s and 80s. It was an arduous situation. Or it was like $1.60 a minute, right? Think about that. Does that make me really friggin' old? Can anybody here relate to any of that? I mean,
I remember that for sure. You used to have like special phones and stuff to use too to get across.
Yeah, the thought of you just being able to dial up, like, hey, there's gonna be an international call. My mom's from Turkey. They're gonna call from Turkey Sunday at 3 o'clock. Be ready. 3 p.m. They're gonna be putting, you know, they're gonna put 100 quarters in a payphone, right? And they're gonna call. So, like, just be able to talk to my daughter the way I talk to her normally when she's in Athens. And then I'm like, oh, she goes, I'm walking to the beach. I'm getting a coffee. It's 3 o'clock here. I was like, well, FaceTime me, thinking there's no way. I mean, there's no way.
Right.
That's the other side of the world. How could How could I get a picture of you? Like, I can get a picture of you in Athens, but not over in Spain. And sure enough, thing flips.
It's crazy.
Looking at an ocean, and I'm like, that's like the future. Think about 60 years ago. There's going to be somebody on the other side of the world, and you're going to hit a button, and their face is going to appear, and you can just sit there and, like, communicate to your family. And I imagine there's tons of folks that do that with their families that are still – their parents that are still in Japan or Istanbul or whatever.
It's insane. It's you know what's even crazier on top of that? We have one of those what do they call it? Echo View in our kitchen. It has a screen on it. And you can just – like, if you set the settings right, you can just drop in, like, without even answering. Like, my –
Right.
At one point, my parents could just drop in. They could just hit the button and they're just looking.
For like dinner. Hey, we're going to have dinner with my mom.
Right.
And just hit the button.
Right.
And she's like at the table and it moves around.
Yes. And it follows you around the room. And you're like, dude, what?
So you do that.
Yeah.
And you don't even have to call. You just hit the button.
You can just literally, I can just drop into my mom's kitchen at any point. I used to be able to do that. I got a little weary of that, but yeah. Yeah, it's like I don't know. How
but is your mom single? Is she
No. My parents are both retired.
Can you imagine?
So yeah.
You imagine if you had like a 68-year-old mom,
dude,
and she's recently single,
dude,
you just click the thing, and you're like, no. Wait, listen, maybe
that terrifies me. With just thinking of my dad in that role, like.
Yeah, just I don't even want to see him. Like,
down.
I don't know what either one is going to be wearing in the privacy of their home.
Man. Why are you guys out of breath?
Hey, how important was the Strider start in your mind, or the last couple of starts?
Massive. And I think more so than anything, and we can talk about all the stats surrounding it, but there was a 0.7 mile an hour uptick even from last start to this one. The velocity is starting to get up. His placement has not been great. He grooved a couple of fastballs last night, but the fact that the velocity is starting to climb, and Frenchie talked about it on the broadcast last night, Steak. The difference between 98 and 95 is massive to a hitter. It doesn't look like that much on TV. It's massive to a hitter.
Yeah, if you're at a 95 and you're not locating the fastball, you're done.
Yeah, he grew one last night to McNeil, I think, and ended up in a double.
Yeah, you won't be in the bigs if you're at 95 and you don't have, you know, real good off-speed or location. Here he is last night. He's talking about exactly what Mike's referring to, his velocity.
Yeah, there's been improvement for sure. Just really diving in on biomechanics, and I feel like I've built such a large database for these types of moments. You know, rehab of an injury being one of the biggest ones is you're trying to build yourself from a starting point into, you know, the best version of yourself. And so having science and resources and data at your disposal to do that is critical.
Such a competitor. Like, last night, multiple times, he'd give up a hit, or maybe you know, strike call wouldn't go his way, and you can just see him just grinding.
Can you imagine the level of analysis this guy must do to try to figure out? Because there is a paralysis of analysis. Like, you have so much information at your fingertips, so much video, so many arm angles, so much exit, you know, so much velo that's studied. Before we go, here's the best reason the Braves will save your summer. It's called their starting pitching.
Yeah, I mean, we are a tight group, and, you know, there's a lot of confidence between those guys, for sure.
And they showed it in this series.
And they should have a lot of confidence, man. They've been carrying this team the entire season, really the last 2 years.
There's no pitcher better than Chris Sale.
No, you don't have A.J. Smith-Shawver or Ronaldo Lopez at this point, and you still just keep plugging away.
Yeah.
And they're probably going to try to do the same thing tonight when they get the Rook coming up to face the Marlins.
All right, when we come back, lots to get to over the course of our fastest 2 hours in radio. How much does a team deserve heat for having a championship trophy in the building? And you literally don't even show up, right? Also, uncomfortable moments, bad jokes, the wife not happy, or something you heard I say earlier. You got one of those stories. I was traumatized. I was absolutely traumatized. 404-726-0929. 404-726-0929. Steak and Mike Johnson. It's the Steakhouse. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Steak Shapiro and Mike Johnson. Appreciate you being here, trying to work our way through buy or sell a little bit later on in the 10 o'clock hour.
Getting a lot of texts about the technology conversation, man.
Yeah.
People just like, yeah. I had a buddy of mine who's an older real estate agent, Steak, and when he got in real estate, he's probably, I don't know, 60-ish. He said when he got in real estate in his 20s, think about this as a real estate agent 40 years ago.
Yeah.
you're driving around trying to look for phone numbers on signs out in front of a house, and then you're going back to the nearest payphone, and you're going, you know, hey, you're calling this number going, how much do you want?
Yeah.
And then you're trying to remember your client's number from the payphone, and you're calling your client going, hey, I just found this house over on W Street.
Yeah, you're driving around literally looking for, I mean, there's still agents, but you're just looking in neighborhoods at numbers, and as opposed to what we're going to say now.
Well, as I was saying, now you literally go to the MLS on your phone. You can use your phone to get into the house on the spot if it's an empty home. Right. I mean, there's no...
And then how about the 360-degree tour?
It's insane.
Bentley just, you see every corner of the house as you and your wife are sitting there in your other house.
And my buddy, he broke into real estate in Texas, dude. Like, think about rural Texas trying to be a real estate agent 40, 50 years
ago. The conversation was about me FaceTiming my daughter before my show on the other side of the world. And, she, you know, she's walking on a beach in Ibiza getting a coffee. And I'm like, you know, when we watch the Jetsons, there's a lot of the Jetsons or any of those self-driving cars, all of them, delivery services to your house with no human being, just a the Chick-fil-A. Have you seen those?
Yes. Oh, the little robots.
Yeah, the robots.
Yeah.
I shouldn't be able to, you know, talk to somebody in Australia, have them hit a button, and you see exactly where they are. And just, you know, I don't know how it affects... I mean, I'm sure it affects long distance in a different way, too.
And well, I mean, think about this, dude. My son's 4. They're saying that my kids' kids won't drive. My kids' kids won't drive.
Meaning?
Like, they won't have to. Everything will take them somewhere. Automated driving, self-driving cars.
You know what I think is really underappreciated more than almost any technology in the history of the world is the pickup services, Uber, Lyft, where... The amount of drunk driving that has ended for a generation. Like, nobody talks about, with Mothers Against Drunk Driving, which was such an issue, right? I grew up, you know, my parents, I you know, Mad Men is real. Like, you know, 3-4 drinks at lunch, you don't even worry you're driving back. Dinner parties were gauged how good a host you were in the 70s and 80s by how drunk you I'm like this vision of like, as the other couples are leaving on a Saturday night, you know it was a great night if they're all hammered going to their cars, right? Yeah. You know, and then fast forward 40, 50 years later. But think about the decision-making of my parents saying, hey, you're going off to New Orleans. Be smart about making sure there's a designated driver.
Yes.
And let me tell you, what's the expression of something in the sand you're trying to find or something? Or, you know, it's like searching for what? What is it?
A needle in a haystack.
Yeah, needle in a haystack. Trying to find a designated driver in New Orleans.
Oh, God. Yeah, nobody's signing up for that one, dude.
Like, yeah, there's a ton of Tulane kids and locals that are just, they're very happy on a Friday night.
Nobody
just,
ever says, can't wait to go to Mardi Gras and stay sober, baby. Let's go.
Hey, I got a great idea. I'm going to be the DD for Mardi Gras for the entire time, right? There was no sober curious.
What do you nobody, got in the cup, buddy? Yeah, Pedialyte.
Yeah, nobody was sober curious. When you land in New Orleans, and right by Tulane, there's a place called Daiquiri's, right? Right by another bar called Cooter Brown's. And you drive through, and the drinking age was 18 at the time in New Orleans. Vermont and Louisiana, it was the only place in the 80s where it was still drinking age was 18.
Wow.
So we're with a roommate who's from New Orleans. And he's like, yeah, it's like 1 o'clock. Let's go get some daiquiris. And I was like, okay. So there's a drive-thru, and he orders 4 of them, and they hand you 4 drinks. And you're just like, I think that they just handed us alcohol through a drive-thru, right? You know, like the first time you get exposed to that, you know Louisiana's different.
Yes.
Hey, that piece of tape, man, goes a long way. As long as you got the piece of tape.
So tell me what the tape is supposed container. To mean. So for all 4 of them, right?
Yeah, as long as the tape. Right. So an open container is allowed in Louisiana for a passenger, not for a driver. So the passenger can sip on its daiquiri. The driver can have a daiquiri, but it's got to have the piece of tape over the lid.
You understand that? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah,
showing
yeah.
The red tape.
The world
say.
That you have not busted the tape. Because that's Scotch tape. Once you take it off, you can't put Scotch tape back on something.
I was going to ask Bo about this, too. Is, you know, the girl I was talking about earlier that I dated that was when I was in college, she's from Louisiana. And they used to have this, like, drive-through barn liquor store.
Yes,
did you just drive through the middle of it?
No. Yeah. Bloody Mary's, 9:30 a.m.
Insane.
My wife's from Lafayette, Louisiana.
Yes.
We'd be like, hey, we got to go over to my aunt Mary's house.
Yeah.
And, there'd be like 3 of us in the car, her brother and anything else. And it's like, okay, just, you know, drive through there.
Yeah.
Just get some bloodies. 9:15 a.m. You roll through. It's just a drive-through, insane. And then they're like, "Here
quite
you guys
literally
go.
A drive-through."
No,
yeah, man, they're all over the place.
Drive-through bar.
Yeah.
And 9 a.m.
I got to get a bottle of vodka. Can you go to the Quick Trip? Like what?
So
Walmart. There is a whole liquor aisle in Walmart.
It's insane.
Yeah.
It's just a different world. But my really point is, think about. So, and I talked to my daughter about this. Obviously, a junior at Georgia, and with anything that's happened with you know, serious situation there and any campus. And she had somebody she was close to get a DUI in Athens. And I was like, I need to understand in this day and age. I said, there is zero. Obviously, we all have the same thing when they're in high school. I don't care if you call me at 3 a.m.
Yeah.
I don't care if you're in, you know, Palookaville. Of course, I'm going to be there and get you. And you have. And you don't even like want to have to rely on Uber. I'll pick you up whenever it is. That's my.
Yeah, if you don't want to pay for it, whatever.
I don't have to pick you up. I get to pick you up. The mindset. Like, you're not a burden.
Get to versus a got to.
Yes. So, but why has the technology or the CEO of Uber or the said, like, how many lives have been saved from Uber and Lyft and everything else where a whole generation never has to have the stupid conversations that we had throughout growing up? Right?
It's insane.
It's the greatest. That technology has just saved thousands, hundreds of thousands of lives.
Don't even think about it anymore. Like, honestly, like, you don't even consider.
Right.
It, you know, maybe it's somewhat. Yeah. It's just,
technology
it's a different world.
Has changed our life for the better in that case. It miraculously.
What year was Uber launched? Because I remember my rookie year with Atlanta, which was 2010. I remember us having to go to like a charity function at a restaurant, and they had drivers for everybody.
Right.
You know what I mean? They had drivers, which we were like, this is incredible. You know, they're taking us out of the bucket.
They had another
thing, drivers.
Safe Ride, Sandra endorsed them for years. They'd have two cars show up, and one car would drive you home, and the other car would drive your car home. So that next morning,
yes.
You know, it's still helpful, I guess. But, and listen, yeah, we, you know, the Uber surging is a pain in the everything else. But I'm just talking about as a parent or anybody.
Yeah. It's not worth it. Listen,
the technology is amazing. You're talking about the fact your kids will never set foot and have to drive in a car ever.
I had to go get my truck yesterday from the Upper West Side
because
we left it on Wednesday night.
Good
after
for you.
We decided to have more than we imagined we would. So
I want to ask you about Charles Davelin is his name, I think it is. He's the left fielder from Arkansas from the game the other night with LSU in Arkansas. And I reposted the tweet of him absolutely hysterically crying, being consoled. That moment in sports, we talk about the celebration of so many great moments. He, if you don't know, it's a 5-3 lead for Arkansas. There's two outs. Now, the play before, they had an easy double play ball. They threw to third, the lead runner. Instead, it's the definition of, well, can of corn is usually a pop-up. Routine 6-4-3.
Yeah.
If ever there was a routine 6-4-3, hard grounded to short, kid barely got out of the box. By the time the kid has it in his glove, the LSU hitter's not even really out of the box. Forget about being down the line. He throws to third to get the lead runner at first and second, and now all of a sudden you're like, huh, they could have won the game there.
Man.
Next hitter hits it directly at this kid. Now, it was a rope, but I would argue a college player, what do you guys say? If you hit him that ball 50 times, he's 49 of 50, you would say?
Yeah.
Or 50 of 50. 100, what do you think?
Probably so. Look, this is the hardest ball to field, though, is the one that's hit right at you.
Right.
And this one was hit on a rope, so he misplayed it. Then when he tries to get his grounding to come up on the ball, he slips.
It
ball
bounces
hits him in the shoulder, right. And you couldn't have gotten a better bounce. If that ball didn't go into the corner, both runs probably don't score.
Right,
I don't know.
There was no chance. Right. At that point, it was like it slowly rolls to the corner.
Yes.
So that kid's season ended. Arkansas's season ended. The Razorbacks are eliminated instead of having a chance to play later that day against LSU. And I was trying to explain to my wife, and she thought I was being dramatic. She goes, that's going to be hard. I saw what you posted on Twitter. It's going to be hard for him to get over that. You know, like for the next few days. I was like,
few days.
I promise you, when Charles Davelin is 75, 78 years old, you know, the next 50 years of his life. Now, if he is successful, if he's a banker, if he's a major league ball player or whatever, he may be a guy, I'm not even kidding, that gets on the circuit to say, here's how I recovered, here's how I trained my brain to learn about adversity. There is no greater adversity. The season ended on an error that a ball was hit right to you. So I have games I replay. I'm sure you do too.
Dude.
You know, where, you know, even like.
I still have nightmares to this day. I have nightmares to this day about two different sacks I gave up in my life.
Serious.
I swear to God, in the last year, I've had a nightmare about both of them. One of them was Matt. I got Matt hit by Charles Johnson from the Panthers. And I was like, I mean, dude, there's not a worse feeling than somebody running.
You literally had a nightmare. We didn't plan this either. You had a nightmare about it.
I swear to God. Well, you know what? And
because it was so, because he got hit so hard, or it was a bad time.
Because
he
got hit so hard, and I was like, I'm done. I'm cooked. Like my life, like I'm completely cooked.
What year in the league were you? Second or third?
Third.
Okay.
Third year. Also, I gave up a sack safety in college to LSU.
What year?
2009. 2009.
What year were
Drake,
you? No. What year were you?
Oh, I was a senior.
Okay, so safety.
I was a senior. It was my All-American year. I didn't let up a sack the whole season. I got okey-doked on the backed-up 5-yard line, and Drake Nevis hit Greg McElroy, and that gave them 2 points and the ball.
That was the middle of the LSU Alabama was the biggest game of the year.
Yes,
you guys played night game. CBS.
Yeah, they won the title in 2007.
Did they win that game?
We won the game.
Oh, you won it.
And I swear to you, I will wake up sweating in the middle of the night thinking about that.
What do you think it was like for Charles Davalin's parents to have to watch that happen? Because I'm sure they'll both tell you, I wish that would happen to me, to have to watch that happen to your kid.
Heartbroken.
Beyond.
For him, 100%.
That devastation.
Especially at that age.
How is he going to mentally, like every time he closes his eyes, he's going to picture that ball.
Yeah,
the angle of it, the way it happened. Like I was trying to tell my wife, it will be 50 years, and he's going to have to figure out how to deal with that.
I think about the age, too, because college is such formative. But was it Mark Andrews that dropped the ball last year in the playoffs for the Ravens, you know, in the end zone? Lamar Jackson throws a perfect pass. He drops. But you look at it, and you go, okay, that's a grown man making tens of millions. Like, he probably won't ever get over it, but he'll be over it. That college kid,
no.
In the biggest situation of his entire life, you didn't know the name Charles Davalin before 3 days ago, dude. And now it's for a bad reason.
Yeah, it's funny. I'm thinking back to my just high school sports days, and it's funny how a parent and the actual person, the player in this case, you know, just have such different emotional states after something like this happens. I remember after like bad football games in high school, and I'm literally getting driven home from the game by my parents, and they're trying to console, and I am just raging mad, you know, don't want to talk. I'm yelling at them not to talk to me about it. But it's just, you know, it's the mindset of an athlete.
And both of y'all's kids are in sports. Mine are not. But I'm curious y'all's mindset on that exact thing, the car ride he's talking about, because I hear other parents
exact
say they don't bring it up.
Exact same strategy.
Yeah.
Like, I usually let, unless my, you know, again, he was worse when he was younger. You know, it's everybody else's fault in a way. Coach, I don't know why coach didn't put so-and-so in earlier. I don't know. Like, and you know, that's a 10, 11-year-old dealing with a loss, doesn't really know how to process it.
Right.
And then at a point you just go, okay, let's call. We just lost 7-0. We just got eight goal rule. You know what I mean? I don't think the coach switching center fullbacks exactly affected the outcome of that game. Right?
If everything would have gone exactly right, we still probably
it's
lost.
It's like Mike Bell says. Mike Bell's fun hysterical story about coaching Little League, and it's like, coach comes after me after the game. I mean, the parent comes after me after the game. What the hell is going on? Why is my kid batting ninth and playing right field? It's like, sir, he hit the ball to second base and he ran to third base. That's a good sign. He's not got a great command of the game.
You know what the best thing is? And I used to coach high school football. Ask a parent what they think their kid runs in the 40. That's the best. Like, that's the best. Hey, what do you think your kid runs in the 40? 4.9, dude. Without question, like a 5.5.
Yeah.
And you're like, dude, I've clocked them personally with the stopwatch. I promise you it's not 4.9.
Hey, why aren't you playing him more? Well, he's holding the bat from the wrong end. That's the first sign that it's not taking. It's not totally taking the way we
Ma'am,
like.
Please come and watch film. I would love it if you would step into the office.
Right.
Come to the dojo.
Hey, the tailgate is brought to you by All Four Seasons Garage Doors. We will talk a little Pacers when we come back. Also, I had a vision last night watching Indiana have a chance to win a NBA title on Sunday. And I'm going to ask a guy, no better guy to ask, who's watched the favorite team that would never win it all, and then play for a team that I think our fans are saying, could this ever really happen to us? We'll do that top of the hour. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. thrilled to be joined by Mike Johnson. Really enjoyed the first hour. Hope you did as well, especially if you're the parent and thinking about that poor kid on Arkansas trying to keep his mental health okay. College World Series, they're eliminated. Coastal Carolina, an underdog against LSU, but they haven't lost in forever. Meanwhile, Braves get a huge win last night. They get the sweep of the Mets, send the Mets reeling five in a row.
Yeah, they've lost five in a row. Insane.
Yeah, so great night all the way around. Sale the night before, we weren't on yesterday, but that was, I mean, dude, he's, you see that play he made at first, the off the mound on the plate at first?
Yeah, it was, dude. I was actually, CJ Nikowski on Twitter, obviously, you know, Frenchie's in the booth. CJ Nikowski's just tweets, dude, come on.
Dude, what are the Red Sox thinking that this guy could win back-to-back Cy Youngs?
Yeah.
You traded him for Vaughn Grissom and you paid his salary. Like, I understand you're upset about Rafael Devers, who was a pain in the ass, and the Mookie Betts was, but let's not go to sleep on the fact that you traded Chris Sale after paying him all that money, and this mother is going out there and dominating. He's the best pitcher in baseball, and Vaughn Grissom will never see the big league club. He's cooked.
I'm trying to think, because I know their GM got fired last offseason.
Like two offseasons,
yeah,
not last offseason.
Chaim, I can't remember what his name
is. Yeah, Chaim Bloom.
Yeah.
They have a new guy, Craig Breslow, who played in the league.
It just seems like, or the same.
Well, I mean, listen, you've got a multi billionaire owner named John Henry who owns Fenway Sports.
Right.
They own a NASCAR racing team. They own a NASCAR team.
Yeah.
They own Liverpool.
Yes.
They own the Penguins. They own the Boston Globe, and you're playing in a major market, and yet you're dumping guys because of we can't pay that salary. That doesn't play well. But like, here's the difference with Sale. You paid the salary.
Yes.
You didn't even get salary relief. Rafael Devers, you got a quarter of a billion in relief. Chris Sale, we're like, no, we'll pay his salary.
Isn't it crazy how much different that business model is in the NFL? Like, that money is just like, they're just like, oh, yeah, what? Oh, what? $500 million? Oh, yeah. Okay, cool. Right. Like, this just doesn't, like. Yeah. No, we're like worried about Kirk Cousins
in the
27
NBA,
guaranteed.
Double tax.
This year.
We're going to pay the double luxury. Okay, insane. Whatever. Whereas the NFL, yes, they reward you for being smart about who you draft, about who you sign, about how much money, right? But I mean, dude, Chris Sale, it is the ultimate, dude, that he's here doing that.
And that money's all guaranteed in Major League Baseball as opposed to a physical
sport like the NFL. And the NBA, right? Yeah.
Don't even get me started on Yrieksen Profar right now and his guarantee. I can't even talk about
it. So, suspension, he gets paid those 80 games?
Well, no, he's not getting paid for the 80 games. The question stake then becomes when he comes back from the 80 games, this is year 12 of his career. Last year was his first ever All-Star team. So, obviously, something happened in year 10 or 11 to where all of a sudden he's 10 times better than he's ever been in his career. Now we got him for a 3-year contract, and I don't even know what
So you're worried that maybe
you get
the old guy.
You got the old guy.
Well, that's a risk reward when you decide to take what you take, right?
Yeah, this guy might be juicing. We'll see.
For Profar, it was a risk worth taking. Yeah, I mean,
this guy
went over him.
This guy absolutely won.
Right. Because now he's got guaranteed money, whether he hits 240 or 290.
It's been that way for every baseball player that's been. I mean, like, you know, Ryan Braun, all those guys won.
The only penalty is you don't make the Hall of Fame, right? So that's the penalty. Yeah. And you had a legendary career. All right, let's talk about last night, though. It is the ultimate laying of an egg by Oklahoma City. The trophy's in the building. And most folks, I think, thought it was Oklahoma City time to dust them off. Tyrese Halliburton, like, you know, that injury was going to be too much to overcome. They're up by 30 at the end of three. They're up by 30 in Indianapolis. Here is Tyrese.
It's about the margins. Like, it's about taking care of the ball and rebounding. Those are the most important things. You know, you got to control the controllables and let the cards fall where they may. You know, it's a one-game series now, and, man, we believe. You know, we got a lot of faith in this group. So take care of our bodies, get ready, and Game 7 NBA Finals, what more can you ask for?
Yeah, I mean, they're a big underdog in that game. I don't know, man. Dude. They got a little vibe going, right?
You mentioned them being up by 30 at the end of three, and I can't. Was it Nimhard or Ben Shepherd that might have hit the three right there, the hot potato three right there at the end of the third quarter? Like he's just trying to get rid of it and throws it up, goes in, and he turns around. And it's like a scene from a movie. He's got the arms out wide. The crowd is losing their ever loving mind.
Well,
in
this
that
kid is a superstar in terms of fan love. T.J. McConnell. If the Indiana Pacers win, they're going to put a statue up. Just something about the energy, the energy that he brings. Last night's game and the way they were swarming defensively, 12 points, 9 boards, 6 assists. Here is Tyrese talking about his guy, T.J. McConnell, off the bench.
Man, he's unbelievable. I don't even have the words. He's a great white hope. You know, that's what we call him. But he's just amazing. Continues to get downhill, put pressure on the defense. And, man, he is he's unbelievable.
The great white hope.
Yeah, man. It's just so funny watching both these teams. And it's you mentioned how special it was for that crowd. It's special for both these fan bases. Pacers haven't won a title since the ABA days, I believe.
Yeah, that doesn't count. I mean, nobody, you know, that's what, in the 60s or 70s. They've never won an NBA title. They're one win away. That city would lose their mind. Here is the head coach of the – actually, let's talk to Shea. SGA talking about one game to win it.
The way I see it is we suck tonight. We have to learn the lessons. And we have one game for everything we've worked for, and so do they. And the better team Sunday will win.
I mean, you're kind of throwing away that you guys, you know, it's not a 3-0 series and you lose game four. This was 3-2, and now you're in a do or die. That was a really disappointing effort by Oklahoma City and makes them vulnerable. Although I would still think there'll be a lot of money on OKC.
Sunday. And I agree. And I think, look, when you watch what OKC has been able to do all year, they've been a legendary
best
defense.
Team all year.
They've been a legendary defense.
Best team after losing.
And
yeah.
They couldn't have stopped the nosebleed the first
time. No, and Indiana's hands are in everything. And they're getting every 50-50 ball.
It was so funny because, like I said earlier, I flipped it over from the Braves right after halftime. And I was back and forth a little bit, and I flipped it over. And it was like OKC, and they were only down like 20 when I flipped it over. But it was like the way they were dribbling the basketball, the way they were attacking the rim, everything they were doing, it was like they had already cashed in. They were like, nah, this not going to happen tonight.
We talk about, can a home crowd make you hit better in baseball? Because I'm like, you know, you may be struggling. You may be hitting 240 in the month of July and be a great hitter. But crowd doesn't make you a better hitter.
Right.
But the crowd makes you better on defense in the NBA. Like, that energy, and same in the NFL. That's why the third down and four, when you're exhausted in the fourth quarter and that crowd gets you going, and the noise that could affect the, you know, the snap, or you go to a silent count.
Communication.
Right. Like, that was like, it matters. It does not matter in other sports. It certainly doesn't matter in baseball the way it does in the NBA.
Yeah.
That crowd took them out of the game. So here's what I'm thinking, watching the Pacers. They got a game seven. That city, I guarantee you, the only thing anybody's talking about in a coffee shop, at the Home Depot, at the Chick-fil-A, everywhere in that city for the next 4 days, right, 3 days, is going to be about Pacers, 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 Pacers. Probably been like that for 2 months, guys, right? For 2 months.
For sure.
Can you envision the Atlanta Hawks playing in an NBA Finals game when we are one win away from a parade down Peachtree with a million people? Can you even envision it? Because I've been here 30 years. And I know that we got into the Eastern Finals. That was our big moment. But I really have a hard time envisioning. And I'm having a hard time envisioning the Falcons. You know, I've been here a long time. And people that – but I will say this. Having lived in New Orleans and having been around Saints fans and knowing them well, I promise you they never thought there'd be a night they're playing in a Super Bowl and that the New Orleans Saints, one of the most beleaguered – franchises in NFL history. Yeah, they just won the Super Bowl. They won a Super Bowl. And Chicago with the Cubs, right?
Dude.
And you're a Cubs fan?
Yeah, dude.
I mean, there must have been 20 years where you're like, of course we're never going to win a World Series. We just want to be better, right?
It didn't even seem real. And that 2016 World Series when the Cubs won, Aroldis Chapman gives up a home run in the ninth inning. Speaking of bad moments, he went and balled his eyes out in the clubhouse between innings. Just insane. Like, it doesn't even – it was 108 years that built up to that one.
It was 108.
108 so years that it built up to the Cubs World Series.
In Boston, it was 86 years,
yes.
Right?
Yep.
So you're like, well, we've lost game seven, like, seven times. We've lost one-game playoffs to the Yankees, game seven to the Yankees, 7-75, 7-86. You know, like you just start to say it'll never happen, but at least you're close. Like I just – to walk into work and be like, yeah, the Hawks and Dallas getting ready for game four of the NBA Finals. It really gets hard when a brand on a team – and you know I love the Hawks and everybody over there, but like the brand is just like – it's not a brand you envision playing in an NBA Finals.
It's hard to picture.
It is. That's what I was thinking. But, I mean, the Indiana Pacers, I don't think many people ever dreamed that the Indiana Pacers would be in the national spotlight playing a Game 7, the last game of the year, and if we win, we will have a parade in downtown Indianapolis led by Tyrese Halliburton, and we're the NBA champs. Not Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown of the Celtics. Not LeBron James and Anthony Davis of the Lakers back then. Not Luka when he was in the Mavs. Like, nope, not the Cavs. No, the Pacers. We are going to get our parade, right? We are finally going to get our parade. And when? I hope I'm around for it. You'll definitely be around for it. How old are you?
38.
Okay, so I'm 20 years older than you. The Falcons or Hawks will win an NBA title in your lifetime. They will win an NBA title. You'll be here to watch it. Right, I would almost guarantee you got two teams to deal with, but it's hard to envision, yeah. Right?
Isn't it crazy too? And kind of taking a 30,000-foot view, how things just kind of go. I mean, Pascal Siakam was rumored to the Hawks for a little bit a couple of years ago, and then you add in Tyrese Halliburton coming of age and develop.
T.J. McConnell,
Oklahoma City's like the same way. Oklahoma City, this is not Chris Bosh and LeBron deciding to go to Miami.
What do you think their fans were saying when they get rid of Russell Westbrook, James Harden, and Kevin Durant? What do you think? Oh, it's okay. In 7-8 years, we'll be the number one franchise in all of basketball. Probably 5 years. We'll be the number one franchise, and we'll have like 8 first-rounders and the best roster in the league and the youngest roster.
It's the worst they'll be in the next 5 years. This is the worst they'll be in the next five years.
So, like, you'll be alive. Do you agree with the statement that Mike Johnson will be alive, possibly on the radio, when the Falcons, I'm being dead serious, when the Falcons are Hawks.
I hope you're right, because I'm the same age as Mike. So, I mean, I'm right there with you, Mike. I hope we see it.
Could the Hawks go another 20 years? Well, I say alive. Yeah, Mike's going to be gone at 58. You won't make it to my age. But let's just say you're in Atlanta. Yes, in the next 30 years, if you had to bet, let's say $2 million, we're going to give it till Mike is 60. So you have 22 years.
All right.
When he's 60, we're going to hand you $2 million or you're going to owe $2 million. Would you make a $2 million bet? You have to bet one way or the other. What would you bet? You have 22 years.
I mean, I guess you bet it because, I mean, the odds are technically in your favor.
I don't know if they're in their favor. I don't know because 1 year does – like, could they go 22 more years without winning at all? Of course.
The thing about
the Cubs went 100 and actually, I'm talking myself out of it. The bet would be to say no.
I was going to say,
come on,
you talk about a 22-year window and betting $2 million. How long has the window been before now?
Right.
You would have lost that money.
Well, it's just like one hand of blackjack has no effect on the hand before and one roll of the dice.
But in sports, it kind of does because teams are built and they tend to win over
especially
a sustained period of time.
Especially right? The NFL is built to get good for a little while. Right, which is why this is a window now. But yeah, that's a. If I had to, if you said at age 60 it's going to go one way or the other, you're going to get $2 million or not going to, or you're not going to lose it.
It's 2025, and the Hawks have been around since what, 68?
Huh? Say it again.
I said it's 2025, and the Hawks have been around since 68, since 1960.
So
like, yeah, dude, you're
in 2000.
You had to give me 2-1 odds on
in
that.
In 2047. All that had to happen is one of those two teams have won by 2047. One of them.
One of the two.
And then when you turn 60, you have $2 million. Do you think you're getting paid those $2
million? I would, yeah.
I know. It's a good.
Please, God.
That's 44 seasons you have between them both.
Falcons have been to two Super Bowls,
right.
In the last 25 years.
But the Detroit Lions have never been, right? And how long have they been around? And how long were the Saints around before they went to their first? I don't know, man. Any thoughts? 404-726-0929. It is an interesting question. I'm giving you 44 seasons. It's $2 million on the line. Are you saying it doesn't happen or it does? What if you had to bet it? 404-726-0929. Is there a scientist out there, or is there just an Atlanta fan? Either one. 404-726-0929. Hey, it's 1024, Sports Radio, 92.9, The Game. Mike Johnson here, Braves big win. They're on the road against the Marlins, and a big start tonight for – did you see this coming?
No, I don't think most people did, and we had a chance to talk to Grant McCauley about it earlier. Didier Fuentes is his name, and obviously quality pitcher. I should have saw it coming, though. If you really think back to the last 5 years – this has happened almost every season, to where some minor leaguer for the Braves just skyrockets through, going all the way back to Spencer Strider and then Michael Harris and A.J. Smith-Shawver and Spencer Schwellenbach. Like, all these guys seemingly that come out of nowhere, and you know, Alex Anthopoulos is able to do it year in and year out. And you hope that this is the latest, you know, sign of that. But, yeah, maybe I should have saw it coming, but no, I did not. I thought we were just rolling along with this five-man rotation, and they pushed Chris Sale back last Sunday, and it is what it is.
Yeah. I love where this game lands, this series. And the Marlins are fine. I mean, Marlins can beat anybody and lose to anybody, and it's a little bit of mojo now. Like, yesterday was the one for me.
I agree.
Get over the hump. I was like, why do we think we're going to sweep the Mets? Like, we don't sweep anybody. We don't sweep the Rockies. We don't sweep the insert the Nationals. We don't sweep – But it's like the mojo of Sale moving to Strider, now the bats. Acuna is friggin' ridiculous what he's doing. So I like our mojo. I think if we take 2 out of 3, that'll mean we've won 9 out of 12 and we head to New York. Where are the Mets this weekend? I'll just take a look at that right now.
Good question.
Yeah. So with the Mets now reeling, right, which is a big deal.
Sorry.
They're at Philly.
They're in Philly.
Okay. Yeah.
That's a big series.
That's great for us.
Yeah, it's a big series.
That's great for us.
I will say, too, and Stake, I think a lot of people have echoed this. We talked about this a little bit this morning. I think a lot of people kind of thought that this Mets series, that your whole season kind of hinged on this Mets series the last 3 days. I even break it down even further than that. There was a play in the 9th inning, or maybe it was 8th inning on Tuesday, where Alvarez has a dropped ball behind the plate, and he picks it up, and he gets okey-doked by Luke Williams. And he throws it down to second. Williams moves to third. The next play is a sack fly from Austin Riley, and you have the walk-off.
Yeah.
That play
yep.
could be the catalyst for your entire season moving in the right direction. If you don't get that play.
Yeah, I mean, and remember the base-running blunder that maybe got our third base coach fired, which was,
yes.
you know, what, 3 weeks ago?
Yes.
Same thing happened there. It wasn't our base coach, but it was an unbelievably bad mistake, right?
Yeah.
And
there was a moment last night too where Freddie sends Matt Olson and he gets in by his fingernail. And I don't even think Freddie watched him. Like, he was kind of holding the runner up at second and he sends Matt Olson home and Matt Olson slides in by a fingernail.
Yeah.
And I was like, dude, can you imagine had Matt Olson been thrown out of the plate and it was still a tight game at that point? And you're like, dude, that would not have been good.
All right, let me go back to that question because I'm fascinated by just trying to break down what the right bet is. So the way we're doing this, and I get, you know, this is what guys do in a bar room, right? If women want to know what we talk about. So we come back from our trips. My wife comes back from a trip with her girlfriends. It's like, Shelly's having a real hard time. Her and her husband aren't doing well. He's not communicating. And one of her kids, you know, seems to be dyslexic, and they're thinking about switching schools.
Right,
and
yeah.
her mom, it looks like she has, you know, having a lot of breathing issues. And I was like, wow. That's a lot going on. And it's like, I come back from trip. So how's everybody doing? What do you mean? Well, you know, how's Dino's marriage to Kate? Kate said they had some issues. Oh. And I heard that John's dad, you know, is going to put him in a nursing home. None of that came up.
Yeah.
It's like, what do you guys talk about? For the four days you're away.
Hey, I don't know if you guys have seen the Brian Regan joke about golf, you know, where he's talking about his wife. How's Doug? You know, how's Doug doing?
Oh.
I know he's got a new driver.
Yeah. That's the best. My wife and I used to work at the same place, and we'd have two different stories about the same person. She'd be like, did you hear about David?
Right.
And I'm like, oh, yeah. He won 1,000 betting the Braves last week. She's like, no. His wife broke her leg in a car accident. I'm like,
hey, how's?
Oh, I didn't know that. Yeah, that's crazy.
How's Peter doing? Oh, dude, Peter almost hit a hole in one on 14. It hit the flag. No, I heard he has to get some tests. They're worried they found a tumor. Found a tumor. Yeah. I don't know about a tumor. I know that he hit a putt and won like $90 on the 16. I need to check on him for that. I do need to check on him.
Right? It's so true, dude.
I mean,
it's so true.
So she wonders what we talk about. This is what we talk about. You get 44 seasons. You get a $1 million bet. When Mike Johnson turns 60, he doesn't have to risk $1 million. Either he's going to make $1 million, but he has to get it right. Have the Hawks or Falcons won a title by the time he's 60? That's 44 seasons. Now, the Hawks have been around 57 years in Atlanta, right? So that means they'd have to be 79 years without a title. And the Falcons, I think, were the year before, so the Falcons would have to be 70 years without a title, right? If you're making that bet at 60, I'm gonna hand you $1 million, but you have to get this right. Your wife really wants you to get this right. I said 2 million. What are you betting? What's the right bet,
dude? And this is the age.
Just think about if they go on a run. Like in the next 8 years, you'll know. Like, dude, when I turn 60, I got $2 million coming.
This is the age old question too of like, and you know this as a guy who might have wagered a time or two in your life, and I feel the same way. It's like a guy who's on a 17 game hitting streak. What's the next play? Are the odds that he's going to continue in 18 games? But the odds actually are that he probably won't get a hit in the 18th game.
Or it's like betting Scottie Scheffler last weekend or the field. You're betting the field every year against those two teams. I'm betting the field.
Yes.
I need 22 years of them not to win because I said no.
Yeah.
So every year it's like 31 teams I get. If any of them win, I got another year.
Yeah.
Now if you bet the other way, I mean if you bet on them to not win and they win it, it's over. You know, I ain't getting my $2 million when I'm 60. I think I'm betting on them, maybe just my mindset, to win it.
See, I almost wonder if the better odds, and I don't know if you're offering these odds, Steak, but you know, for a football team, if you have a great quarterback, what could you get bonus odds for? Let's say I think the Falcons will win two Super Bowls, and I get a bigger return, because if you have a great quarterback, you're going to be in contention.
Right, you're saying can you get 5-1 instead of 2-1 or 1-1?
Yeah, you're saying
to stack Super Bowls.
Listen, in 22 years, they're going to have two or three starters. Is one of them good enough to say? Now, Lamar Jackson's never won a Super Bowl. Josh Allen's never won a Super Bowl. Aaron Rodgers won one early, never won another one. Matt Ryan never won one, but he was there on the doorstep. But Matthew Stafford won one. So if the equation is, if you draft a great quarterback, your odds are astronomically higher. But no, I'm not giving you any different odds. No, that's not even a conversation. So I'm going to throw it out to group, and then we'll play buyer's son when we come back. In 22 years, and hopefully we're all around 22 years, you're going to get $2 million. You have to bet one way or the other. What's your bet going to be? You got 44 seasons. What's your bet, Joe?
I mean, I'm making the bet. I think it happens. And
okay.
In particular, that's actually relates to Michael Penix.
Okay. Yeah, if you think 10 years in, we have a shot. Bo, what are you betting?
I'm taking the field or the years. They haven't done it in 40 years. What makes you think you're going
to
do it in 30?
Well, it's back to what Mike said. Yeah. What's the difference of every season's its own season? You know, like there's a brand. The brand of the Braves is they're going to be in the tournament almost every year. You know, when you're not in the tournament 7 years in a row, it's hard to picture. Now, if we were going to be in the Mike Smith era, we were damn close. We lost, NFC?
NFC title 2012, games. And it still makes me sick to my stomach.
Hey, what's your bet?
For my own sanity, because I eat, sleep, and breathe at these teams, I'm going to have to say yes.
So everybody's betting yes except for Bo.
But you never, you never bet with your heart, though.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like, you can't do that, dude. Like, that's just... And honestly,
you're going to go on a notion that there's two teams in Atlanta that got here in the mid-60s, and they're both be 70 years into Atlanta. 70. and they won't have a title. That's 140 seasons.
You know what?
So I'm saying we're going to win one of them.
I feel like that's like the roulette history board there when you frame it that way to say it will have been that long, because what only matters is where they are literally right now and what the path forward is.
Of course,
is.
Yeah.
And the sexy part of this bet is the fact that you're dealing with two different leagues. If you're just saying one team in the next 22 years.
Here's the other thing. If you bet yes and they win in the next 5 or 8 years, you have no anxiety. Like, it's over. Like, we know in the next 16 years – that money's going to come to me eventually.
I got to tell you, you get like 15 years into this, you got to start worrying about paying that $2 million debt.
If you bet, I'm not going to charge you, but every year you know you're not getting it. So if you bet the other way, every year one of those teams is good, you're going to be nervous. Like, wins away. They're 2 wins away from me not getting them those $2 million, right? Yeah. As it gets closer, like, the easier bet is bet the other way, and if you finally win one, you don't have to worry the next 10 years. Otherwise, you got to worry every year,
dude.
Right?
I need
an injury. They're too good this year.
This whole conversation is putting me in a mood right now, because I just like, dude.
We're gonna get one. You'll be 60. You'll be right there. Hey, we'll come back. Play by yourself. Sports Radio 92.9. /10:41. Sports Radio 92.9. The game. Stakey, Mike Johnson, Smoking Joe Patrick, Bo Johnson. We're having a very pleasurable Friday morning. I could feel a little extra pep in my step this morning. Not that I don't love Rusty on Friday, but getting to work with Mikey. Just, you know, I have a big day ahead. I'm excited. The
feeling's mutual, man.
Well, thank you, buddy.
Mike Conti's like, hey, do you want to? Yes. Are you sure you want to say
anytime that you can do it? We'd love you the extra 2 hours.
I'm here, man.
I think I got Abe coming up. I got Bo Morgan coming up. I think Bo's doing Monday with me.
That'd be interesting.
So you just got to coach me through. Even though I've known the kid for, I call him a kid, right?
Yeah.
But to me, he's a kid. So I've known that
42
kid
now?
Since he was an intern. All right. I'm actually having to work over here. Like, me and Mike are catching up. And I'm like, I've written 3 strikes. I've written buy or sell. Smoking Joe is going to get his first chance. Have you ever played by or sell with us as the host?
I don't think that I have, actually.
Consider your radio career made. Consider this. It doesn't really get any bigger, does it? Getting to play by or sell, what do you think,
Mike? You got to be careful, man, because the first time I ever played by or sell with Steak, I'm into like a 30-second buy or sell.
Well, if people come back with, like, you know, variations or like, well, buy if this or this, and then I just go silent.
Yeah.
And then you just hear debt. And it's like, well, I said buy or sell, dude. Like, I don't.
It's a simple game.
Yeah.
It's as simple as it gets.
It shaped my, that moment well, shaped my
like,
radio career.
Do you mean like now, or do you mean like all time? Right? And I'm just like, and then I go right back.
You know, a year later after that, I'm talking about, you don't remember this, but you let me host buy or sell one time.
Yep.
And I got to yell at you, and it was incredible.
Well, what does Sandra always say? Whenever she asks me a question, I go, that's a good question. She goes, yeah, I know. Like, why not just answer it, right?
It reminds me of the Will Ferrell when he's doing Harry Carey, and he's saying, if the moon were made of spare ribs, would you eat it? It's a simple question.
All right.
That's so good.
Let me give you the 3 strikes. Get those phone lines, and then we'll play buy or sell. Yes or no, the Falcons or Hawks will win a title by 2047. That's what it is. It's the Mike Johnson 60. Will he have seen a title? You have to bet. It's $1 million bet. So in 2047, you're either getting $1 million or not. You know, I'm not going to take from you, but if you win your bet, you're getting it. 2047, yes or no, Falcons or Hawks win by 2047. The first thing you think of when I say the word Alabama. The first thing you think of. So, again, anything. Driving through Alabama. Staying in Alabama. The band Alabama. The football team.
Be gentle with me.
The first thing you think of when you hear the word Alabama and the Mount Rushmore of desserts. What place? What dessert? Could be a store-bought. Could be your favorite restaurant. Could be whatever. But I want the Mount Rushmore of your desserts. What place and what dessert? 404-726-0929. 404-726-0929. 10 o'clock hours brought to you by who's our buddies over there?
Our friends at Wise Guys Pro Wash, Atlanta's number one rated pressure washing company. I passed one of their trucks on the way to work this morning. So you picture a tank with a bunch of guns on it.
Yeah.
This is what's routing down Wise Guys Pro Wash. It is a truck with pressure washers mounted all over
it. Looks like they don't even get out of the car. They just
ride by
and just fire it
up. Is not a guy pulling a pressure washer out of his pickup truck.
Yeah. This is a serious machine.
Oh, yeah.
404-726-0929. Also, our big game of the night. You want to tell us the matchup tonight? I think Braves fans are very intrigued about.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember who was going for the Marlins tonight.
We don't really care, though.
Yeah, I was going to say the
Some
Braves.
Some guy named Junk. He's 1-0 with a 2.7-ish ERA. So just coming up himself.
Yeah.
Not worried.
There you go. And Fuentes, obviously the rook, going for the Braves.
Yeah, huge night for Atlanta. As you try to keep some of this momentum going and feel great about a weekend, and then next week, you know the test ahead of you. So, 7:10 start tonight, Fuentes versus Jansen Junk. Literally, can't make this up. Jansen Junk.
What a name.
404-726-0929. We have plenty of time to get everything we need. Obviously, the race coming up. What's the most exciting thing? A lot of things about, first of all, you get to be down there. Right? You're gonna be
Man. We're going down Thursday. The whole morning shift crew is going down Thursday. We'll be camping out Thursday night. We'll be doing the morning shift live Friday morning from Echo Park Speedway down there. And look, man, we're going to have a couple of guests on live that day. Then we're also doing a pre-race show next Saturday before Saturday night, under the lights, Echo Park. I've dubbed it the Echo Chamber. Got signed off on
That's
by
awesome.
Ryan Blaney, NASCAR Cup champion. Answered that question earlier today, I love that name. That's a great nickname. So, man, dude, it's just, this is what I do, Stig. It's what I do.
Yeah.
I go to NASCAR races and I camp out and grill.
And so you drink a lot of beer.
And a lot of beer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's your beer of choice these days?
You know what, man?
And you stay with the same all day and night, or do you mix it up?
I try to. Well, I'll get to a certain point where you go to the brown water.
No, but I'm not asking that. Do you stay with the same beer?
Yes.
What is it?
At a NASCAR race, it'll be Miller Lite.
Yeah.
Unless our friends at New Realm give me more of that hazy like a fox.
Yeah. I mean,
shout
just
out to them.
Somebody step up, right?
Yeah.
Big opportunity, big star, Mike. All right, let's play Buy or Sell. Buy or Sell with Joe and Mike Johnson. Buy or Sell, Nick Saban on game day is a little bit overrated at this point. Buy
sell.
Or Sell.
What are you talking about? He's the best thing to happen to that show in years.
Buy or Sell, Saban a little overrated. Just won the Emmy.
Overrated sell, absolutely a sell. He's great.
He's great, man.
Eating your kids' leftovers is something you need to be careful of, or when they were little, you had to be. Buy or sell.
Buy. It's my worst problem
What's
in my life right
file?
Now.
What's the most dangerous?
Peanut butter and jelly. They get about two bites into that, and I'm like, let me hammer down about 1,000 calories real quick.
Or what I notice is when you clear the table and there's half left.
Oh, dude. Cheetos.
Get it in the sink. Get it in there, because otherwise. Yeah,
I do. So, I mean, I don't have kids, but, you know, I will buy it in the sense that I go to a friend's house and I see the food they have around that their kids eat, and it's insane.
It's like if you go to a bar mitzvah and you wander into the kids section of the meal.
Yeah.
Like you're having, like, on your side, there's like a sea bass or there's like a roasted chicken. Then you go over there because they have a separate area. Mac and cheese, chicken nuggets, pizzas. Like, I'm sorry. You know, who's that large bald man that is devouring our buffet? Scaring the hell out of these.
Who's the guy over there that looks like Gru? Who is that guy?
It's like, Daddy, this is for the kids. It's actually for the guy that's paying for these nuggets and mac and cheese. That's who it's for.
Imagine the two little bites my three-year-old daughter takes out of a slice of pizza. I'm like, are you done? Okay,
right.
You're done.
I know. Dude, it is dangerous.
So bad.
Buy or sell. Joe, you gotta get off the phone line, bro. You're playing.
I was gonna say,
is he serious?
He's doubling up, man. Hey, you can't multitask during Buy or Sell.
He's screening calls while he's playing. That
Ooh, can, well, all right.
That
all right.
Can't
what are we, where are we at here?
Falcons will win a road playoff game this year. Falcons will play in a road playoff game this year. Buy or Sell.
I think buy.
They win the division.
I think they might win one playoff game.
Right, that's right. So that if they win the division, they have to win that game, and then you get one.
Yeah.
They will play a road playoff game.
I understand what you're doing. I'm going to buy just from a just, hey, bring it to me, man. I don't care how
buy
we get there. Just
or
bring it
sell.
In.
Braves will have an enormous headline this offseason. Braves this offseason will have a big headline.
I think
I don't know what those could be.
I'm going to buy, and I think just for hearing from Anthopoulos, especially on your show lately, it seems like he knows that something cool has to happen at some point in the near future.
You think
future,
Brian
right?
Snicker is retired?
I think it's probably, yeah.
Something
I think
like
that's
that. Buy or sell. Big headline in the offseason coming. Buy or sell.
Yeah, I think absolutely buy, because also the team has big problems they got to fix.
Yeah, they got some holes.
Sandra Golden harassing steak on the air is great radio. Sandra harassing me is great radio. Buy or sell?
Absolutely buy. Love to see that.
Buy yeah, I got to buy that. And whatever, it doesn't even have to be harassment, just putting you in your place or just, you know, or just calming you down.
My sister put you in my place. My sister-in-law was like, y'all were so funny the other day, but are you mad at her?
Yeah, dude.
Are you mad at her?
That question all the time about me and Bo.
I was like, no, I'm not mad at her. She didn't say anything to me.
It drives me nuts, but no, I'm not mad.
Pacers plus eight is a great bet on Sunday. Pacers plus eight. That is the number right now for game seven.
I think that I'm going to buy that. I think it's a great bet. I think that's one of those games. It's game seven, dude. It's going to come down to the nitty-gritty no matter
sell.
How you slice it.
Yeah, I'm buying it. It's a championship game. You know they're going to throw everything at it. Yeah, I'm going to buy it. Pacers have a bunch of guys who can score. I don't know if you saw this. They have the first team in NBA history to have 8-plus players score 200 points in a playoffs.
Okay. Falcons will be 3-1 against the AFC East. Joe, they'll be 3-1. They're at New England. They're at New York. They're here for Buffalo and here for Miami, I believe. Buy or sell?
I'm going to buy it. I'm going to buy it. I think that they can take advantage of some of those teams.
Buy or sell? 3-1 against the AFC East.
No, dude. I got to sell that. I'm going to go 2-2. And I don't even know who jumps up and grabs him, but that's just too much to ask, man.
Ray McLeod's underrated. Buy or sell?
Buy. He's been put in some bad situations. You should never ask as much of Ray McLeod as you have last year. And so I buy. I think he's underrated.
I absolutely buy. Yeah. He picks up tough yards. He's a tough
runner,
too.
Isn't he properly rated, though? People say he's a great third receiver. Why do we have to say more?
I think he's underrated on a national scale, not here.
Yeah, that's how I was thinking about it, too.
All right. I guess I shouldn't even say that's not my it's not for me to say. We'll take calls this year. We will take calls this year to play Kirk Cousins. Buy or sell. This radio station, buy or sell.
I'm gonna sell. I'm gonna sell.
Dude,
I think
I'm buying. Are you kidding me?
Seriously.
Dude, to play Kirk Cousins? The most popular guy in any team is the backup quarterback. It's not like we're going 16-1.
Fried bologna sandwich is a cool shtick. A lot of places now have the fried bologna.
Sell.
By yourself.
Sell, I'm good.
Fried bologna. Bye.
Oh. Some of these barbecue spots now are getting famous for their fried bologna. Finally. Pour me something tall and strong. Make it a hurricane. This is before I go a perfect song. It's only half this is a 12, perfect song. But I don't
care. Ooh. Perfect. Bye. It's as close as it can possibly be. Bye.
This is a perfect song.
I love it. I love this song. You can't have a bad time.
I'm sitting down at Lulu's in Orange Beach right now, or Gulf Shores.
I don't think there's ever a time that you don't want to sing this song.
Yeah, dude.
I think it's the perfect song. Right?
I think
when Buffett sings it,
Buffett's sister's name is Lucy, I think. She owns Lulu's down on the beach. Come on, man.
She does. Been there many times. That's in Orange Beach, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Great job, guys. Now we're going to play Three Strikes. I mean, I'm working hard today. You see this? I want you to tell Bo Morgan, isn't he like in management? He is,
that's
right?
That's what he says, yeah.
Will you tell him Steak it was working
Steak
hard?
Steak was grinding.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, he'll get to see Monday.
Oh, yeah. Hey, Kareem, yes or no, Falcons and Hawks will win by 2047. Buy or sell?
Yes, please, Lord Jesus.
First thing you think of when I say the word Alabama?
They got some pretty girls down there in T-Town.
And Mount Rushmore of desserts. What place, what dessert?
I'm just old Southern boy. I'm going to go with home cooked. Give me a pound cake. Give me a German chocolate and a red velvet.
All right.
And a key lime pie, my
brother. No. What's you that? Didn't play the right way. You're penalized. You're suspended for one. No. One place. One.
Oh, okay. He didn't follow the rules.
No, he didn't. Breakfast Barry does. Hey, Barry, yes or no, the Falcons will win something by 2047 or the Hawks? There'll be a title in the next 22.
Just a no or a hell no?
First thing you think of when I say the word Alabama?
My daughter, Charlotte, because she graduated there a year ago in 4 years. Love her that she didn't stay for another year.
Roll Tide.
Mount Rushmore of desserts. Yep. What place, what dessert?
place that you met your now wife, The Cabin, used to have a chocolate toffee crunch pie made by a dessert company in Decatur Southern Sweets, and they're still open, and they're freaking fantastic.
I love that. Thank you. Reggie in Duluth. Yes or no, Falcons and Hawks, one of them will win by 2047 a championship.
Falcons, no Hawks.
First thing you think of when I say the word Alabama.
Mullet Nation, War Eagle,
whoa,
baby.
What'd he say? Mullet Nation? Come on, dude. I said be gentle.
The Mount Rushmore of desserts. What place, what dessert?
Old school Shoney's lava cake and ice cream, vanilla.
Okay.
I haven't heard a Shoney's reference in a long time.
We were talking about Louisiana. If there was a Mount Rushmore of late night Shoney breakfast buffet in New Orleans,
dude,
there was one on St. Charles. Dude, me and my boys would roll in there like 3-4 in the morning.
Shoney's. Does that place exist anymore?
No. Utter destruction. I don't think there's no Shoney's left, right?
I think there's got to be one or two.
You know, he's out of Atlanta, the family, Schoenbaum.
I did not know that.
Utter destruction. This was fun. We could have done another couple hours, dude, but we can't.
Anytime.
Hey,
man.
By the way, 10 o'clock, I was brought to you by Wise Guys Pro Wash. Pressure washing at the highest level. Thank you, Mikey.
Love it, man.
Have a great weekend. Thank you, Bo. Yeah. Thank you, Joe. A lot of fun. Back Monday. Thanks for making the steakhouse part of your day.